BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on BCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, just before we introduce our guest today, I would like to mention that today there are top Iranian diplomats that are meeting with various world powers to try and restore the U.S. to the 2015 Obama-Iranian deal that President Trump removed us from. Joe Biden has been anxious to get us back into this mix here. Very troubling mix. They're meeting right now in Vienna, Austria. There's representatives from Iran, China, France, Germany, Russia, the UK. Then they have messages being relayed back to representatives in the U.S. as Iran has refused to hold direct talks with us since we're no longer a member of the accord. But in response to these talks, Israel's Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, issued a message to the world. And he's warning the world not to end the sanctions. He stated that Iran doesn't hide their intentions. Just a couple days ago, the senior command of Iran's armed forces declared, quote, "We will not back off from the annihilation of Israel, not even one millimeter." There are those who are wanting to drop the sanction and all the sanctions that President Trump had helped put in place and then got out of the deal. And Israel's prime minister is warning not to give in to the blackmail of Iran. So we do encourage you to be praying about this issue. It's going on as we speak in Vienna, Austria. Some very critical matters that are taking place. Now, to our topic today. This coming Wednesday, December 1st, the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments in the case known as Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It's a case that's said that has the potential to dismantle and overturn Roe v. Wade. It is said to be positioned as one of the highest profile arguments of this term. Well, here to discuss this along with other pro-life issues, we welcome back Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also the host of Life Issues, a daily radio commentary. Brad, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jim.
We've got a lot to discuss, but let's begin with this critical case coming before the U.S. Supreme Court this Wednesday. Tell us about the case.
Oh, yes. In the 46 years, Jim, I've been doing pro-life work, I have never been more optimistic about the opportunity to reverse Roe v. Wade or at least do substantial damage in gutting most of the landmark law that in 1973 legalized abortion until birth for any reason. The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments on what we're calling the Dobbs late-term abortion case. Now, this involves legislation passed by bipartisan support, Democrats and Republicans in 2018, that would end abortion at the time of 15 weeks. So if the baby gets to be 15 weeks old in the womb, then they would be legally protected, thus ending most late-term abortions. Well, of course, the local abortion facility sued, and it's made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. We are very optimistic that pro-life sentiment, constitutional interpretation and not legislating from the bench will be the result. But the 1st of December is when we'll hear oral arguments. And hopefully, Jim, we'll get some insight into what the justices are thinking regarding this legislation.
Brad, after 15 weeks, but this, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, this would allow states with whatever their abortion law states to take effect. Is that correct? Or would this only ban abortion after 15 weeks?
Well, absolutely. It would give states throughout the country the opportunity to pass legislation just like this. So we would see about half the states probably moving to provide further protections for unborn babies. Some states already have legislation in place that would kick in should the Supreme Court rule that this is constitutional. So we're talking about the potential of saving countless babies, generations of children, as a result of this one decision.
Yes, and a matter of fact, and a couple of points on that, I understand there's a huge group of many thousands of medical professionals that are calling for the restored legal protections for unborn babies. They're known as the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, representing more than 30,000 doctors and other professionals. And they say, Brad, the science is clear. I mean, we're all about following the science in all of this. They say the science is clear that a distinct, living, and whole human being comes into existence at the moment of conception, and an abortion ends the life of that human being. You know, amen to that. It happens at the moment of conception, and there we've got over 30,000 doctors that are signing on to this statement.
Yes, and they're not only doctors, but they're other medical professionals. They're represented by five different organizations that take, as you mentioned, a solid stand on life. And Jim, the science is there. Actually, the science was there in 1973, but the window to the womb has been flung open since Roe v. Wade, and we know so much more about the unborn child than we used to. Not only that, not only do doctors and medical professionals understand it, millions of Americans do because they have seen ultrasound images of their babies. Our oldest son, who will soon turn 40, was the first generation where the first baby picture we had of him was in the womb. And since then, that has opened the eyes and hearts of so many Americans to understand that abortion is a scourge on this nation.
You know, it really is. And I am so sick of hearing, you know, follow the science, follow the science. We're hearing that, and whether it be with COVID, the shot, we're hearing it about global, so-called man-made global climate change, and we're following the science and this and that. Why, and these things that are changing, I mean, it changes from one day to the next in the news, but when we have sound science, when life actually begins, this nation turns a blind eye toward it. We have got deaf ears toward that issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, we're talking about people who believe there are multiple genders now in the country, contrary to what medical science tells us. So, yes, we are facing a force, if you will, a dark side that totally ignores basic scientific information that is widely known across the country. So more and more, Jim, I think people are realizing just how extreme, how anti-science, and how flat earth these people really are.
Well, we have also the Biden administration claiming that abortion is a human right. How do you respond to that, Brad?
A human right to kill an innocent unborn baby by dismemberment, suction, or other grotesque, violent actions is not human right. It is the exact opposite of that. It is the brutal killing that, by sheer numbers, has made the World War II Holocaust seem like child's play.
If Roe were overturned, again, states that have laws against abortion, like our state, would stop abortions immediately, virtually all abortions. But I understand there's some 23 states that would kick into play here. Forecasting that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, at least 120,000 abortions would not be taking place in that first year alone. That's huge.
Yes, that's right. And I think it's huge, but I think it may be a conservative estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what we've worked for decades, Jim, is we've worked to reverse Roe v. Wade so that it would put the battle in a playing field where pro-lifers excel, and that's the grassroots activism, where we have state legislators and governors who are more directly connected to the people and more accountable for their votes and actions. So I think that that's where we are going to see the pro-life movement kick into full gear and really do what it's so well known for over all this time at saving lives. The motivation, the science behind them is going to be absolutely amazing. And we're going to see this juggernaut of humanity working to protect lives.
What do we have information, Brett, or do you have information as to who's doing the argument on behalf of life for this Mississippi case?
I believe it's the Attorney General, and I forget her name, I'm sorry to say. She is an absolute stalwart pro-lifer, very eloquent, absolutely on fire for life, and she is, if she's the one doing the argument, she will do an absolutely wonderful job.
Great. And the impact, and I know, Brad, that theirs is at the 15 weeks, but we're seeing every human life. We already have this physicians group and other medical professionals saying the science is clear that this is a living and whole human being at the moment of conception. I know organizations like Life Issues Institute is not going to rest until that point is recognized, that life is sacred, human life is sacred from the moment of conception.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is absolutely true. There is no way that we are going to sit idly by while most abortions continue unabated. That has always been our mission, and we will stay true to that, to protecting all human life. But this is a big step in that direction, Jim, and we're so excited because it's really the first substantial step that we're able to take, or likely able to take, as a result of the Supreme Court. But, oh, absolutely, we will not rest until we protect all innocent unborn babies. And from here, we will go to the next step.
Well, friends, we're talking to Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute, and again, it's this coming Wednesday that oral arguments are being heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, a very critical case that is known as Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, has the potential to dismantle and overturn Roe v. Wade, but a very high-profile case. And, Brad, high-profile cases like this, it is usually the very end of the term when we get a decision from the court as to what they are going to be deciding on the case itself.
Yes, yes. Normally on these really highly controversial cases, our experience has been, certainly with the abortion issue, that the Supreme Court rules on these at the end of June, right before their term ends, and many are literally getting out of the country, going on a much-needed vacation. So we will probably not know the results of this until late June.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives us a wonderful opportunity between now and then. A lot of Americans are going to be paying close attention to the abortion issue, and this is our moment to shine and show them the humanity of those unborn babies at 15 weeks, share how extreme America's abortion law really is, and put a face on the victims of abortion, not only the babies, but the mothers and fathers who choose abortion.
Brad Mattis is with us, and friends, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to bring up another case that the justices heard just 4 weeks ago regarding the Texas Heartbeat Act. So stay with us. More to come. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the mammoths die?
Chris, the mammoths were thought to have died out about 10,000 years ago. And although evolutionists have admitted that early man must have seen the mammoths, more recent evidence has caused them much consternation. In the tomb of one of the pharaohs in Egypt is a drawing of men carrying ivory tusks on their shoulders. Next to them is an animal that sure looks like a mammoth, with hairy skin and a domed head, just like we see in mammoth fossils. And why not? Mammoths are a variety of the elephant kind, and two of them were on board Noah's Ark. Certainly humans knew of them, and from the earliest times have made use of their ivory. Chris, it's the back to Genesis view of history which makes sense out of the evidence.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And, friends, we're talking about the court case before the U.S. Supreme Court this coming Wednesday that is known as Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a case that could overturn Roe v. Wade. And I know, Brad, you're optimistic for that to actually happen.
Oh, we are. And not just me, but other people, that colleagues that I work with, that tend to be on the more conservative side as far as predicting the outcomes. There's a lot of, shall we say, giddiness behind the scenes, you know, really looking to count the votes on the Supreme Court, that we have strict constructionists now who make up the majority of those. And of course, we can't really rely on John Roberts, the Chief Justice there, because he has waffled on key pro-life issues. But we seem to have a good, solid majority of five who would probably stand up for justice and the unborn in this case.
Let's hit another issue, because it was just 4 weeks ago this very day, November 1st, that the Supreme Court heard arguments on the Texas Heartbeat Act. First of all, tell us about what this Texas Heartbeat Act is, and then let's talk about what the court is deciding on it.
Sure. There's just so much happening. It's a wonderful time to be in the pro-life movement. And in Texas, you're probably aware that several states have passed a heartbeat law, which essentially means that if the heartbeat of the unborn baby can be detected in the doctor's office, then that baby is protected from abortion. Now, the Texas legislature has seen these laws pass and then watched as pro-abortion state attorney generals and whatnot have refused to defend the legislation. Well, they took a creative approach to this legislation, and it wasn't the state or the state government that would have to enforce this law. It was the average person, citizen, who could sue those involved in procuring or participating in what would have then be an illegal abortion. And, of course, I want to point out that the women involved in this case, the mothers of the babies, would not be prosecuted or protected. That has been the case through eons, that women are not considered the culprit here, but more of the victim. And so that put a wrench in the plan and strategy of Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry. And as a result, the Supreme Court has allowed this legislation to actually take effect. And it's been in effect for a few months now, and many babies have been saved. And recently, the court stated that they would not decide on the case when it was expected they would. So it may be that we won't get a ruling on this until late June also. And in the meantime, they're saving enough babies to populate a small Texas town. And one of the things that I think is so great about this is when you have legislation protecting babies from around 6 to 8 weeks on, that's protecting most babies during pregnancy from abortion. That is substantial and monumental. And, of course, the other side is saying that the sky is falling. They're channeling Chicken Little and saying women are going to die by the thousands if we don't have abortion. Well, that's exactly the opposite that will happen. And I think it's by God's design, perhaps, that he is showing the nation that the world won't fall apart, that we won't abandon women in need who are facing a crisis pregnancy. We'll continue to be there for them and give them life-affirming alternatives. So, you know, you just never know what God has in mind, but this could be an opportunity for us to realize, you know, if we pretty much end abortion, things are still going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be better because we're saving the lives of these precious unborn babies. You know, Brad, the case that was before the Supreme Court as it related to the Texas here in the heartbeat law, many kind of expected that court was going to make a quick decision on this because of the fact that, you know, people are not being able to go in and have these abortions take place. Did it surprise you that we're now 4 weeks out and there's been nothing from the court on this issue?
Yes, it really sort of does. And again, I think this may be God's design to show Americans, hey, choose life, follow my will regarding unexpected pregnancies and lives that you think are going to be destined for negatives throughout their lives and that they'd be better off dead. I'm going to show you that when we protect them, then the nation is better off and blessed for it. So, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, they, of course, could come down any time with a ruling, but it sure is interesting. This whole thing has been remarkable along the way as things develop, that we have not had a Supreme Court ruling yet.
Yeah, on the tragic side, Brett, it's being reported that there are Texas women, though, that are traveling across state lines to kill their babies, some as far away as New England. So there are some that are so determined to follow through with an abortion, they're taking this. But on the positive side, there have been many, many lives that have been spared as a result of the Texas Heartbeat Act.
Yes, and what's interesting, too, is watching the abortion industry and their pro-abortion activists and how they are now actually openly advocating illegal abortions, sending away for the chemical abortion pills from places like China and India, where the pills, what's in them is highly questionable. Whether they'll be effective at killing the baby or whether they will do more harm than good to the woman. It is just appalling to see the pro-abortion movement who used to say you have to have abortion legal because illegal abortion is unsafe to women. And now they have totally flipped because it suits their purposes. They're advocating illegal abortion that is a very dangerous procedure without any medical supervision. And it shows that they're all about the money. They're all about the politics. They don't care about the women that are involved with this, much less their babies.
Brad Mattis is with us from Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Brad, there are so many things that are happening in the news that we need to have you also address. For instance, we do need to alert our listeners that this so-called Build Back Better program that's coming from President Biden that has already passed the House of Representatives, has gone over to the U.S. Senate, deliberately is excluding the Hyde Amendment, and this is really bad news if the Senate allows this aspect to stand.
Yes, and it's really interesting. It would throw open the doors for federal funding of abortion on all levels, in Obamacare, everywhere. It would increase the abortion rate by hundreds of thousands of lives lost. It would be an absolute travesty if this were to take place. And it's really interesting, President Biden, who used to say he strongly believed in keeping federal funding out of the equation and not forcing Americans to fund something that they find totally repulsive, killing innocent unborn babies. Now, for the sake of politics, he is totally flipped on that, and he is the most pro-abortion president we've had in our nation's history. So, yes, we're talking about just opening the floodgates for taxpayer funding of abortion should this legislation go through.
Brad, and the folks, let us again remind you the importance of contacting your senator on this. I believe so far Senator Joe Manchin has said he's not going to agree to that, but there may be other sweeteners that will try and woo his vote, and it's important for you to contact your senators on this very aspect. The Senate number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. As we are soon coming upon the month of December, I mean, December 1st, we have this landmark case before the U.S. Supreme Court. But coming up on the 16th, Brad, there's another important issue, and it's dealing with the matter of chemical abortions. There are many that are pushing to have this universally available here by all across this nation. But we understand that on December 16th, that the FDA is going to be issuing a decision on these chemical abortion pills. Address this matter for us, if you would.
Certainly. At the bidding of the Biden administration, the FDA has been kind of chomping at the bit to loosen up these safeguards. You know, we're talking about medication that has very serious ramifications and side effects. Profuse bleeding is an expected outcome of taking this drug. It can suppress the woman's immune system, and it may be an open door for widespread infection and sepsis, which can quickly take the life of the woman. And its symptoms are very subtle and can be hidden in what are traditional symptoms of taking this drug. So some of the requirements are very basic, that you have an in-person visit before you're given these deadly pills, that they check for a tubal or ectopic pregnancy, because this pill wouldn't affect that, and that could be life-threatening for the woman. There are cases where they need to check their medical history to see if taking the drug would harm them or create serious health problems. And to make sure that they date the pregnancy, because there are added complications that can arise with chemical abortion if they go past the 10-week limit that the FDA had initially set. So recently, research has come out, very important research, Jim, that shows that the number of emergency room visits within 30 days of taking a chemical abortion pill went up 500%. And this should send a chill up the spine of the FDA and the president. The last thing that they should be even thinking about is weakening or eliminating these safeguards. They should be thinking about strengthening them. It's sheer madness that in the face of, again, science and knowledge as we know it, these are dangerous pills and should be treated as such.
You know, this is outrageous. Up 500% emergency room visits. Now, Brad, we keep talking about, you know, our first line of defense and our frontline workers and so forth that are there to train COVID and all the hospitalizations. I talked to an individual this past weekend that had to go to the ER, and they said, well, if you have to be admitted, you can't even come into the hospital here because all our beds are taken up here. But, I mean, we're seeing this explosion take place across this nation, and this decision coming from the FDA would only exasperate our frontline workers in that regard by heightening the number of emergency room visits for something that's totally preventable by the Biden administration and the FDA, and yet it appears that they're just so hungry to allow for the killing of the unborn that they want to do anything to pass this. And I you know, the consciousness of this nation, it just really is called into question by their action.
Yes, it's extremism at its worst, Jim. And we also saw evidence in this study that 60% of the problems were miscoded as spontaneous miscarriage instead of the abortion pill.
My.
So we've seen evidence of a cover-up.
We're going to take a break right here. Brad Mattis is with us from Life Issues Institute. And friends, their phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk.
In our culture, marriage is thought to be optional, and live-in arrangements have become part of the new norm. The DVD Princess Cut tells the story of a Carolina farm girl who has dreamed all of her life of the day when Mr. Wright slips a princess cut diamond on her finger and affirms to love her forever. Her heart is broken multiple times, though, until she learns a new focus in her life, that true love is worth the wait. In its sequel, Princess Cut 2, underscored is the truth that love bears all things. You'll see what happens when heartache, grief, fears, and trials strike a family and is conquered by hope, courage, enduring love, and the hand of God at work. Princess Cut and its sequel, Princess Cut 2, Love Bears All Things, are now available as a 2-DVD set for a donation of $25 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis with us here today on the broadcast. And folks, we're talking about the Supreme Court. And, of course, they have the case that is coming up this very Wednesday, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It is said to be, have the potential to dismantle and overturn Roe v. Wade. It is said to be positioned as one of the highest profile arguments of this term. And here to discuss this with us today is Brad Mattis with Life Issues Institute. And also we have pending before the U.S. Supreme Court right now as well the matter of the Texas Heartbeat Act that has been under scrutiny as well. Case brought before the other courts that serve Texas, the appeals court upheld the information, upheld the Texas Heartbeat Act that was challenged at the U.S. Supreme Court level by the Biden administration. What is this, folks, about the denial of science? Life begins at conception. How is it that we are just so overwhelmed with the idea of taking the life of the unborn that we actually have to come about and see that we'll do whatever means possible to take innocent life in the womb? Well, we've got Brad Mattis with us here today. And, Brad, before we get to the phone calls here, and by the way, listeners, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. With all the emphasis on COVID worldwide, it's important for us to point out that abortion is still the leading cause of death worldwide.
Oh, absolutely. We are seeing, of course, the concern globally about the victims that COVID is taking. But the abortions that are quietly happening during the COVID pandemic far exceeds the loss of life from COVID. And tragically, these are the most vulnerable members of our society, unborn babies that have no way to protect themselves.
Friends, we'd like to get your reaction to these matters this week. Again, the Supreme Court to hear oral arguments this Wednesday. We're also waiting on the Texas Heartbeat Act decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. We've got the Biden administration, his FDA, that's about ready to release their decision regarding the whole issue of the chemical abortion pills to be available by mail virtually universally and for these to be done. Sometimes it's done through special appointments that are done online with doctors, not medical visits that face-to-face that are required, and on these issues go. Some ruling coming from the FDA December 16th. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go to Robert from Edgewood, New Mexico. Robert, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. You know, the Bible says God said that before the baby was conceived, they knew him already. Also, he says, I have plans for your life. How many babies that could have been lawyers and this and that, you know? You know, I'm so glad something's being done now about this. Can God be brought into the courtroom?
As far as quoting from Scripture regarding these very aspects, I'm confident. Thank you for the question here. I'm confident, Brad, those arguments have certainly been brought up in court in previous cases getting to this point. But indeed, I mean, God is the author of life.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, a lot of people, particularly in those positions of power, have in the past disregarded God's will as it pertains to protecting these babies from abortion. What is different now is that we believe we have a majority on the Supreme Court that does not disregard God's will, that interprets the Constitution and does not legislate from the bench.
Thank you, Robert, for the call here today. And certainly many eyes are also watching John Roberts in this. Brad, he's facilitated the liberal voice for several rulings now.
Yes, his rulings as far as Obamacare and other things has been so erratic. We can't rely on him to be a vote for constitutional justice. We just don't know what he's going to do. But that's why we think the appointments that President Trump made, those three appointments during his presidency, are so crucial. We would be nowhere without the Trump administration these 4 years prior to Biden.
Our number is 800-733-9829. Reggie in Delavan, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm curious. These people on the FDA, how do they get those positions? Are they appointed? Are they voted in? How do they get those positions?
Thank you, Reggie, for the call. Brad, it's my understanding that you may have the head of the FDA that's an appointment, but you've got many, many years of staff members that are just hired by whoever is in charge of the FDA.
That's right. Yeah, the upper levels are often appointed when a new administration comes in. When a pro-life one is, we are often asked to submit names for various agencies. But a lot of those bureaucrats, lifetime bureaucrats, are in there, and it's not an easy solution just to have the new pro-life president fire all those bad people.
You're right, because there's just a very liberal bent when it comes to agencies in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. You have a swamp, as President Trump called it. It's very apt because we have people there who are dyed-in-the-wool pro-abortion people. They have their agendas, and they're not going to let them go.
We've got Ada calling from Sun Lakes, Arizona. Ada, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to know, where are all the celebrities and the people who've adopted children? If the mothers had aborted them, they would never have been able to adopt these babies, Angelina Jolie, Sandra Bullock, all the rest of them. Where are they? Why aren't they speaking out against abortion? That's my comment.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Well, and many of them had to adopt from other countries because there just weren't available babies in the United States. It's an issue that it's so obvious why they don't understand and side with us on life. But it boils down to politics, Ada, and the power in Hollywood is very liberal, very extreme, and most of those actors and actresses are afraid of speaking up against that extremism for fear of losing their careers.
We've got Tom in Madison, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm just curious, for the people who are anti-abortion, why don't they adopt all those unwanted babies?
Yeah, well, let's address that. Thank you for the call. What about that? If you're so pro-life, then where are those pro-lifers at adopting babies? Brad, I'm going to have you comment on this. After all, November, we're just coming to the end, is National Adoption Month.
I'm glad you asked that question also, because it is pro-lifers are quietly adopting babies. They are taking them in as foster parents. Here's a couple that have adopted two sets of twins. In one day, in September, a couple in Cincinnati who raised their kids, each had kids from a previous marriage, they were what you would call, many would call, an easy street, because they were now just enjoying grandchildren, and they adopted two 14-year-olds and two 9-year-olds. This is one of many, many, many examples of pro-lifers putting their beliefs into action and adopting children.
Brad, if one just does a web search, they're going to find that there are many, many that are wanting to adopt babies. I mean, the waiting list is long. I mean, you talk to adoption agencies who have profiles of parents that are wanting to adopt, and we know that many international adoptions have stopped taking place, that are not allowed any longer. Or holds are being placed on them due to various restrictions, but the waiting list is long.
Oh, absolutely, and it's expensive. If you were to adopt a child, you could be spending $20,000-$30,000, and that is no exaggeration, because the attorney fees and the process is very expensive. And one lady in Iowa a secondhand store in her garage, and all the proceeds are going to help people pay these costs towards adoption. Just another example of pro-lifers putting their efforts where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Chris calling from Union Grove, Wisconsin. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, I have one statement. How come no one ever says the choice comes before you get in bed?
Brett?
Oh, yes. That's a good point to make. A lot of them, with the availability of contraception, they should consider those choices. But we have learned from the Centers for Disease Control and the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is was the pro-abortion research arm of Planned Parenthood, that about half of the people who opt for abortion admit that neither they nor their partner use any form of contraception. Now, I'm not advocating for contraception or against it. I'm just saying, reporting that they are actually using abortion as a method of birth control. And the mentality is, we will sleep with whomever we want to, knowing that we have that backup plan.
Okay, thank you for the call. Let's go to anonymous caller. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, my question would be, has it not been noticed, or can it not be supported, that God opens the womb and the matrix?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the protections that we can offer these mothers who are, as the earlier commentary said, they're being targeted and made a market? And then there's the fact that fetal material that's gotten somewhere has gone into the medical field, even showed up in the treatment for COVID.
Yeah.
And that it's the coronavirus, and that's a crown. I mean, my God, with us. Does he not notice these things?
Yeah, I'm sure God does notice these things, and it's very troubling that these things are taking place. And I know, Brad, this is something that you, too, looked at through Life Issues. So you have links on your website that help people understand, whether it be that of the COVID-19 shot or other vaccinations that have actually utilized the cells from aborted babies in the trials, testings, or in the vaccines themselves.
Absolutely. And we share that information so that people can make decisions, understanding that these vaccines are involved with the cells of an aborted baby.
Mm-hmm.
As far as selling the body parts of babies for research laboratories, that has been well documented, and we have found that there are a lot of demands of babies who are 17 weeks of age in the womb. Should the legislation in Mississippi be ruled constitutional and states pass similar legislation, we could make a huge impact on this insidious industry that is buying up body parts of aborted babies and experimenting on them.
Yeah. Some very horrendous things have taken place. We've interviewed Brad before as it relates to humanized mice and other issues as well. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. I see I've got two open lines yet here at 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. You'll find so much information on topics here pertaining to life at lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. I've just spent 3 days and hours on television going through the U.S. Supreme Court complaint written by lead attorney Kurt Olson, also a former U.S. Navy SEAL. This is a complaint that is to be filed eventually with the U.S. Supreme Court related to election fraud, particularly in the states of Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. For those who say there was no voter fraud, this 75-page complaint, not to mention the many pages that are the exhibits, well, it's filled with information that even I didn't know about, and I've been studying this for over a year. My friends, we have a serious problem with the issue of elections being free and fair in America. The full complaint can be read as a public service at frankspeech.com, and then just look for the banner, Supreme Court Complaint. Click there and read it. 75 pages every American should read if we want to remain a free nation with free elections. Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, as the Supreme Court this Wednesday is going to be hearing a very critical case here, as it's known as Dobson versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. And be praying, ladies and gentlemen, for this Supreme Court as they hear the oral arguments this coming Wednesday. Be praying for them as well as they consider the Texas Heartbeat Act as well. Gene is calling from Chautauqua, Wisconsin. Gene, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have one thing to say. They call them dreamers that come across the border. What about these little babies that are killed, yeah, never got a chance to dream?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Thanks for raising that inconsistency. Ken in Iron River, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
My comment is, why can't we make it, if they teach all this garbage in school, why can't we teach abstinence? I mean, actually somehow promote it as alive, and they got all this other garbage they teach. Why don't they teach something that can help prevent all this chaos and trouble and heartache?
Yeah, good.
That's my comment.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. And I know, Brad, you know, some states allow for abstinence-based education to be taught, but there are so many states that have this Planned Parenthood curricula in the schools, bringing Planned Parenthood speakers into the classrooms, and it's just abhorrent to see what is going on in the name and the guise of education.
Yes, and you know what? They attacked abstinence, something fierce, because they knew that that was an effective tool against their industry. And so what they promoted was fact-based sex education for the kids, stating outright that abstinence was flawed, it wasn't medically sound. Again, not anybody that wants to follow the science and medicine that has proven abstinence is effective and useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bucking the knowledge and medicine and science as we know it for that political agenda.
We've got a caller from Minnesota. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but years ago I met a woman who had children, and her last child was born malformed, wasn't formed right in the womb, and she kind of thought it was due to, just prior to that pregnancy, she had an abortion. So I'm wondering if there's any studies on that.
Thank you for the call, Brad.
Well, I haven't read any studies that indicate a problem with anomalies in subsequent children. However, there certainly are studies that show that fertility issues can be an issue where women could not conceive or they could not carry a child to term because of the damage, the scarring and whatnot done to their wombs through an abortion. But abortion is a very unnatural, violent act toward a woman's body. And we shouldn't be surprised that there are going to be subsequent medical issues that are a result of that abortion. And when you have multiple abortions, as many women have, that even increases the problems of a future healthy pregnancy, sterility, or other physical harm.
Let's go to Brad next in Milwaukee. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering why the pro-life people are not more supportive of contraceptive programs. They should be leading the way rather than Planned Parenthood. If they don't want to have all these unwanted babies, they should really be pushing contraceptive programs.
Brad, we're going to have you respond to that. And keep in mind that there are some of these contraceptives are actually commit abortions in themselves.
Yes, anything that's hormonal has an abortifacient aspect to it. It has three mechanisms. It prevents ovulation. It thickens the cervical mucus so sperm can't penetrate. And the other one is that if ovulation does break through and there's conception there, you have a tiny developing baby that then can't attach to the wall of the uterus, the endometrium, because the pill has rendered it hostile to implantation.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are concerned about early abortions should be very much aware of that. I don't think anything's going to make the other side happy, whether it be contraception, abstinence, or whatever. They are going to push abortion as hard and fast as they can. And they are just absolutely extreme people.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad, for that question. And certainly if the Biden administration would have as much effort into teaching abstinence in education as they do for promoting abortion, things would be significantly different as far as the understanding and what's happening and mind changes taking place as a result. But all the how-tos are being presented to children today. Linda is calling for Sardinia, Ohio. You're on the air.
Back in 1973, when they legalized abortion, I was furious. And I said, where is the church? And why is these parents allowing their, and what I've told quite a few people, they're using abortion as birth control. And then they started teaching sex education in the schools. Where was the church and why was the parents allowing that to take happen? And it really makes me furious of all the little innocent unborn babies that have been murdered since then. And we're just going to have to pray for this nation that Wednesday is going to all come to an end. And thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The question is, where is the church? Let's pick up one last call, and then we'll have Brad comment. Carl in Erie, Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Yes, I was, a lot of these people that are pushing for their abortion are saying that we have too many people in this world already. Yeah. And I think that we should give them a chance to remove themselves from this world so that one of these babies can have a chance at life.
Well, thank you, Carl, but they do have a chance for life. It's not which one has greater value. They all have value. Life has value. Brad, we have about 40 seconds. So go ahead and comment as you would.
Well, in many countries, a majority of them, they're worried about depopulation. China is first and foremost among them after decades of forced abortion. Now they are frantically trying to reverse what they've done because their populations are dramatically decreasing, and they're very, very concerned about that.
Indeed. And folks, their website, lifeissues.org. And Brad, very quickly, we should mention Texas is actually increasing funding to helping women carry their child to term.
Absolutely. We're seeing Texas and other countries go beyond and showing great concern for women who are facing unexpected pregnancies. Pro-lifers are there for them through their pregnancy, through birth, and beyond with all kinds of resources.
Brad, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.